My guest at this time is Mark Mix. He's the president of the National Right to Work Committee. We've asked him to offer a response to Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton, who vowed to vigorously oppose the right to work movement if she is elected president. And Mark, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Greg. Great to be on with you.
Well, here's what Hillary Clinton had to say in a video message to the Laborers International Union of North America as it met in Las Vegas.
And I will fight back against so-called right to work. Right to work is wrong for workers and wrong for America. Now, having said all this, why aren't I 50 points ahead, you might ask? Well, the choice for working families has never been clearer. I need your help to get Donald Trump's record out to everybody. Nobody should be fooled. He proudly declared himself 100% right to work. He even hired a union-busting firm to break up an organizing campaign at his hotel in Las Vegas, where you are right now.
So let's start with the very basics here, Mark. As succinctly as you can, what does right to work mean?
Well, right to work means that simply you have the choice whether or not to join or financially support a labor union as a condition of getting or keeping a job in America. It really is that simple, Greg.
And so why is she hostile towards that?
Well, I don't know, but she does seem really agitated. I'm kind of concerned about her with all these health concerns, but she seems like she's all fired up. I think what she's trying to convey to union officials, not rank-and-file workers, is that if she is elected president, she will stand in the way of what is a growing movement to free workers from compulsory unionism. Unfortunately for her sake, the reason why she's not up by 50 points is because 8 out of 10 Americans believe it's wrong to force workers to pay dues or to get or keep a job. So she's running against the tide when she talks about being in favor of compulsory unionism.
And what's her record, whether you look at her time as a senator or what she's advocated for in other positions that she's held? Is she right that if she's elected, she's going to be against it 100% here?
Well, I think so. We'll have to take her at her word on that. She said this, I think, this is probably the fifth or sixth time she has actually made this an issue in various venues about how she believes that workers should be fired from their jobs if they don't tender dues or fees to a labor union boss. You know, in 26 states across the country now, workers are free to make that choice. Nothing in those laws stops anyone from joining a union or paying union dues or participating in union activities if they choose to do so voluntarily. But in those 26 states, you can't lose your job simply for failure to pay dues or fees to a private organization that is a labor union. You know, Hillary's record as a U.S. senator, she was endorsed by the AFL-CIO. There's no question that the union bosses across the country will spend literally hundreds of millions of dollars trying to put her in the White House so that she can stand, you know, in defense of this compulsory unionism privilege that union officials have.
What does the record show, Mark, in terms of the economic impact of right to work? You mentioned the 26 states that have enacted this. What has that done for economic growth in those states compared to the states that haven't done it?
Well, it's a really great question, and the evidence is building in a larger and larger way over the last several years. It appears that right-to-work states, those states that had it back from 2005 to 2015, had nearly double the private sector job growth than the states that didn't have right-to-work. As far as business location, site selection, business expansion, right-to-work states are leading the country in creating new opportunities and new jobs for people. And ultimately, you know, union officials ought to be happy about that because they can go into those states where those new jobs are and they can try to organize those workers. The problem that union officials have and the problem that Hillary Clinton has is that they think they ought to be granted this government privilege to force everyone to pay them a fee for the privilege of working. And that model of compulsion is not working in the 24 states that continue to uphold this monopoly power by organized labor. And it's working in the right-to-work states that have the freedom to choose. It's definitely good for workers, and it's good for their economy.
We're talking with Mark Mix. He's the president of the National Right to Work Committee. And there might be some folks listening to us here, Mark, saying, okay, 26 states have done this, 24 haven't. So isn't this a state issue? What impact would a president really have on this?
Well, interesting enough, Greg, the power to compel workers to pay dues or fees just to get or keep a job comes from the federal government. The federal government back in the New Deal era under Roosevelt actually passed a law that federalized labor policy across the country, and they're the ones that established this ability for union officials to exercise this privilege of having workers fired if they didn't pay dues or fees. From 1935 to 1947, unions used that power to dramatically expand their power over workers. In 1947, Congress came back in and said, hey, you know what, we probably went too far. They were thinking about repealing the entire federal labor policy, but instead of repealing it, they amended it. And they amended it in 1947, what is known as the Taft-Hartley Act. And the Taft-Hartley Act actually gave states, if they could, by affirmative action, they could outlaw these closed shop forced unionism provisions in the federal law. So, for example, in California today, there is no state law that forces private sector workers to pay dues or fees to get or keep a job. It's federal authorization that allows that. So what Hillary Clinton could do is join with her supporters in Congress and certainly union officials back here in Washington and try to repeal Section 14B of the Taft-Hartley Act and wipe out all 26 right-to-work laws in one fell swoop.
She also mentioned Donald Trump in those comments, and Trump, of course, doesn't have a political track record to go by here, but from based on what he said and perhaps some of his business dealings over time, what do you make of his commitment to right to work?
Well, she says that he's 100% for right to work, and he has indicated that he supports the right of workers to choose whether or not they want to support a private organization just for the privilege of working in this country. And so that's a position that's in alignment with a vast majority of Americans. It's a position that does not necessarily preclude union officials from organizing workers and getting union members in right to work states. In fact, there are several right to work states that have higher union density than states that don't have right to work laws. So the notion is, yeah, let's be for freedom in the workplace. Let's allow workers to choose, and let's let them decide whether or not they want to financially support a private organization. I think that position of Donald Trump, as Hillary Clinton states that it is a position that is favored by a vast majority of Americans. It's Hillary's position that keeps her from being up by 50 points because she's taking a position that only 20% of Americans would indicate that they would support, that says you've got to pay dues to get a job.
Yeah, I'm guessing she didn't expect this video to go quite as viral as it has. So how pleased are you overall that this issue has gotten more attention here as we get closer to Election Day?
Well, certainly, as Hillary Clinton is the soup du jour of every day in the news reels, and so is Trump, the fact that Hillary calls out and mentions the right-to-work law specifically is certainly something that we're encouraged by. I mean, the fact that she comes out and categorically states that she's for forced unionism, I think is gonna be an interesting development as she moves forward. Talking about right-to-work is always good. You know, they say in media, Greg, if they spell your name right, that's a good thing. So we get to talk about right-to-work, and we get to talk to your listeners about the issue of freedom in America's workplace.
And real quick, where can folks go online, learn more about you?
They can find information about right to work at nrtw.org, nrtw.org.
Very good. Mark, thanks for your time today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Greg. Thank you.
Mark Mix is president of the National Right to Work Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.